RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Town you never heard of. Hey everybody, welcome to the Common Folk Podcast with Ben, Morgan, and Andy.
Welcome back to the Common Folk Podcast, the Farmer to Farmer edition.
The Farmer to Farmer edition. I think you got that right. We are in the, what do they call this place? The CHI?
CHI downtown Omaha.
CHI, yep. Event Center. Kind of big time.
Yeah.
Big
yeah,
time
for real.
Down here.
Yeah. This is a cool facility. They have big, all the big names down here for shows like Eric Church. Ooh. Or
yeah,
whoever, right?
Well, so I was just here a couple of weeks ago for the Omaha Supernovas.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They have all their home games here.
Yeah.
And they're kind of a big deal. Yes. And so I pulled into the media outlet or inlet, whatever you want to call it. And I went in the doors, you know, thinking like, I'm already ahead of the curve. I got this figured out. And those guys, honest to God, they looked at me and started laughing. And they're like, you ain't even in the right hemisphere here. I'm going to have to take you across, up and over to get you
nice, yeah.
where you need to be.
So. It's a big place, man. The the Creighton Blue Jays play here, right?
Yep, yep.
Yeah, but Farmer to Farmer is the name of the event. Farmers Business Network is who puts it on, FBN. If you haven't heard of them, check them out. They used to do this Farmer to Farmer event. They did it for a few years in a row.
Right.
They've taken a couple of years off.
Well, and it was kind of out of necessity, too, that, you know, COVID kind of, really kind of took the knees out of from everybody. And I'm glad it's back together. And, you know, we just talked to Zach Johnson, Millennial Farmer. You got some of his merch here supporting your guys, your brands, which is awesome.
Yep.
But he's just excited to do this networking and to meet new people and talk to new people. And that's something that I really like seeing that's coming back.
For sure. 100%. Yeah. We're set up here with a vendor booth, a farm focused vendor booth with our merch, Millennial Farmer merch. Zach's coming in and doing some meet and greets with some folks. But this show, what I like about this show, I go to a lot of different farm shows. This one's a little bit more key and a little bit more low key and a little bit more focused on, you know, things that you can get for your operation, that you can implement in your operation, that are going to make you more efficient and more profitable.
It's more directed.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's coming here with the same mindset. Like, we want to learn. We want to, you know, or they're looking to get something out of it. Where you go to a lot of these ag shows, and we're in expo season, right?
Right.
It's, hey, look at our new tractor, or look at our new attachment.
Yeah.
You go
to kind of eyeball things that you're never going to be able to buy. You know what I mean?
Like,
you
just me anyway.
Yeah, you just go see it. You're like, oh, that's great, man. I'd love to operate that thing. But that's the thing about here is that the way the FBN membership works, you know, anybody can be a part of this and anybody can benefit from it. So it's worth your time to come down and check, you know, some of these things out and see what you can implement on your operation.
Well, and a guy like Zach, he's just so down to earth and honest with you.
Right.
And, you know, I got to talking to him and put on my, you know, broadcaster hat there and interviewed him for News Channel Nebraska. He's like, I'm most excited for the information that's going to be shared and the networking. I mean, who's a better networker than him?
100%, yeah.
You know, and for him to want to be here and to get it back into that, I think that speaks volumes. And like I said earlier, I'm just glad to see events like this coming back around.
Yeah, totally agree. So we're here for 3 days. We're going to try to just take some time throughout these next few days to grab a couple folks that are walking by, chat with them about who they are, what they do, where they farm, what they're involved in the industry. We'll have some folks that you know that you can find on YouTube, which I'm sure we will, and some regular everyday common folks as well.
I'll tell you what, I really like the blend. This isn't a big over the top show, you know, with combines rolling in and stuff like that, but there's finance guys, there's soil guys. Over here we got solar guys. So like, and I'm curious, okay, what's going on there?
And they're putting on throughout the days, they're putting on sessions, classroom sessions on certain topics, and then having some pretty cool keynote speakers as well.
I'll tell you what, that keynote, Chris Voss, if you don't know him, get to know him. He's just a fantastic speaker, and he worked for the FBI for over 20 years as a negotiator. So like, you know, like Die Hard, you know, the negotiation type, that's him.
Right.
That's his life.
Yeah.
So hopefully we can get him at the booth.
Absolutely.
Let's go get Chris.
Absolutely. As we stand here and talk, here comes the Millennial Farmer.
Oh,
so we'll rope him in a couple minutes. But yeah, man. So looking forward to the week and grabbing some of these folks. So.
Yeah. Stay tuned. We're going to be bringing them in, reeling them in.
Sounds good. See you. All right, we got him grabbed out of the walkway.
Got him.
We're with the Millennial Farmer. What's up, buddy?
I'm here. It's good. Yeah, this is going to be a fun show.
How you holding up? I mean, it is expo season if you are a rancher or a farmer.
It is. The month of February has been a little bit of a brutal one for me, but I got this for 2 days. I'm here for 2 days, and then I'm flying to San Antonio Thursday morning. So I'll be there for 2 days for the Commodity Classic as well.
I'm getting emails from the Commodity Classic like, hey, you want to interview so-and-so? I'm like, I'm in Omaha. I'm not in San Antonio, but it sounds like I could just hitch a ride with you.
You could, yeah, but I don't have much room in my suitcase.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and those airplane seats, man, have gotten small. Holy cow.
Yeah, the seats, they keep getting smaller in my case.
I flew a couple of weeks ago for that Kentucky show, and I didn't get to pick my seat. They were like, when I was checking in, they were like, another $85, you can pick your seat. And I'm like, no, I'm not paying $85.
It's going to be a crappy seat anyway.
They put me in the very last row in the middle.
Next to the bathroom.
Yeah, and the last rows are tighter, apparently.
Mm. Oh.
And the back of your seat doesn't recline.
Oh, I knew that.
It was horrible.
Ooh.
It was horrible. Yep. Yeah, but anyway. What do you think about, you haven't been to Omaha for a while, have you?
I haven't been down here for a couple of years. It might have been this show last when they had it.
Yeah.
23 maybe, 22. I don't know what
Andy
year
and I were
was.
Just talking about that earlier. It's been a couple of years since FBN did it. What are they telling you? What's it all about this year?
Well, it's the same thing as what it's been about. It's the networking, the speakers. You know, we got the trade show here, so it's a relatively small trade show.
Yep.
Right, the show in general. But that's what makes it so good, is because you actually have time to talk to people and network with the people.
Yeah.
You've got the breakout sessions to choose from. You know, there's multiples of those each day. And then they've got really high-level speakers that come in for this deal.
Yeah.
So
that's
a big thing that I've always been impressed with is the level of the speakers that they get and how good they are, you know, to really hold your attention.
Yep.
It's almost like Charles, the founder, like came from big tech and he knows how to streamline and really dial stuff in, right?
It seems like that. Yeah, you would think.
Yeah. Outside of the show, I just got to say this just because he's a good dude. Got a chance to go see TJ at Round the Bend Steakhouse.
Yeah, we did.
Last night.
Yep. Hadn't been down there. Well, I was not 2 years ago. We came through here on our way down to Arizona to go racing. And I don't know if you swung out or not.
I did, yeah.
You did, okay.
Yep.
Yeah, we brought the whole race crew through and had a meal at Round the Bend.
Yeah, we didn't. I thought about it afterwards. We didn't have any cowballs.
Last night we did.
Yeah, last night.
Yeah, that is weird. We just kind of showed up
and ate.
What
are we doing?
Well, yeah, why even go?
Right. Well, it's because cows don't have balls.
Oh, they don't?
No.
Oh, right.
That's
right.
A fair point.
Yeah.
That's fair.
But yeah, home of the Testicle Festival. And I'll tell you what, I just thought about you and the last time you guys did a live show there.
That's right, yep.
I got a flyer from Baumgars, and it was showing Mystic Lube.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, the grease and the oils. And he couldn't help himself. He asked you, what about Mystic Lube? And you looked at him like, what are you talking about, buddy?
TJ said that?
TJ was trying to take it in a whole different realm, and you were keeping it between the rows.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, I'm not following you. I'm not tracking you, buddy.
I don't remember that. I'd have to go back and listen to that.
It was the funniest
thing. A lot of things happened that night.
Yeah.
Oh, it was just,
we didn't
me,
have
like
a direction for that show. We just kind of went
so much.
With it.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. It went good, though. It was fun.
I thought it was fantastic. Yeah. I got there a little late because I think I was broadcasting a game out west, but no, it was fun.
Heck yeah. Well, cool, man. We just wanted to grab you real quick and just get your thoughts on the show and just chat a little bit. So appreciate you stopping in. We've got the Farm Focused booth here. Be talking to some folks this week, doing a little few signatures and stuff on some hats and stuff like that.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. So good stuff. Anything else, man? You got any questions?
No.
You got anything else you want to cover?
I don't think so. Yeah, swing on into booth 73 and say hi.
73. Was there any? Is there anything that you wish we would have asked you?
Just now? Well, that's really putting me on the spot.
I just said that because that's just like a weird interview question.
Yeah, so that is a weird interview question. I'm trying to come up with something witty, but the gears aren't turning fast enough.
It's still early. All right. Well, that's it. Let's find somebody else.
Yeah, we still got two more days of the expo. We can come back.
Yeah, we might have you back. Yeah.
Let's get rid of this guy for now.
All right. We'll see you. All right, Andy, we got another one, another booth here, Farm Rescue. We've got David Endorf. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty well.
Good. What's your role at Farm Rescue?
Officially, I'm a volunteer.
Okay.
And a volunteer for Farm Rescue does a lot of different things, and today I'm here at a farm show representing and telling the story of Farm Rescue to other people. Normally, I can be out running a combine, I can be out running a grain cart, I can be running a planter. In the past, I've even hauled hay. And looking ahead here, you've heard about the fires in Kansas, and Farm Rescue is looking to get involved in that and probably get some hay hauled down there and fencing supplies, things like that.
So that's what Farm Rescue is an organization that sees needs. I assume people maybe apply for some needs.
Right.
And then you guys provide manpower and that kind, is that how that is?
Right. It's an all-volunteer organization, and basically we provide manpower, sometimes equipment. Depends on the situation. Each situation is obviously different. We generally don't write checks to people, but we provide people. For example, a planting case, they provide the seed, they provide the fuel, they provide the fertilizer if that's necessary. And we come in case of a illness or injury or something like that, we come in and provide the labor to get their crop planted or their crop harvested.
Nice. How did Farm Rescue start? Do you know?
It really started. It started about 20 years ago. It started in North Dakota. A man by the name of Bill Gross, who grew up on a farm, and in the 80s kicked him out of the farm. Mm-hmm. Sad to say, but he had a simple vision, and that was is that he was. And on his time off, he became an airline pilot, but on his time off, he was going to go help farmers because he enjoyed being on the farm. And so he actually bought a tractor and set out and with his tractor and to help people.
Oh, wow.
It sounds simple.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome, too.
It's grown into a 10-state organization now.
I think the first time I recognized you guys was the floods of 2019. They're just so devastating across Nebraska. I saw a lot of your guys' signage. Trucks and in your shop too there, Ben.
Right. Yep.
You know.
Yes. Yep. Farm Rescue helped with that. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I mean that was across Nebraska, Iowa, everyone downstream, upstream.
Right.
That was really tough time.
Yes. And Farm Rescue was happy to step in, and that's what we do. That's what we do in a lot of different situations. Wildfire situation is a classic. I personally helped with hauling hay out in western Nebraska in that North Platte area in March of 24. That was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
What Farm Rescue does, or their preferred way of doing things, is to actually load a load of hay at one farm or ranch and take it to another directly.
Yeah.
We don't like to work with the hay lots, which some people don't understand, but it's just simpler for us. It's better for us to keep records and to respond back to our donors that want to know how the money was spent.
That was going to be my next question. How does Farm Rescue get funded?
Farm Rescue relies on donations. A lot of them are corporate donations. For example, John Deere supports us greatly.
Nice.
We run John Deere equipment, but the pickup that I drive has John Deere logo on the front prominently. A lot of John Deere dealers individually support us also. Believe it or not, Anheuser-Busch is a big supporter of Farm Rescue. other businesses, large and small, and obviously individuals, see the value of the work that we do and contribute. Yes.
Well, I'm sorry.
Well, I was just thinking of those wildfires. That happened shortly after, I want to say like 2020, 2021, Northern Kansas got hit by another devastating wildfire. And I remember on the news seeing you guys just taking convoy after convoy of hay down there to try and help out some of those ranchers.
Right, right. And altogether, Farm Rescue owns 9 or 10 semi trucks and some trailers to go with it. And we'll rent equipment if that's what we needed to do. And we'll step in and help as we're asked. We do ask for people to apply for assistance. Sad to say, farmers are pretty proud. They don't like to ask for assistance. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times it's neighbors that step in and recommend Farm Rescue to their neighbors and encourage that application.
It kind of feels like this is a really good fit then. I'm sure we're going to get to it. Like, well, why are you here at FBN, Farmers Business Network? They're already kind of ahead of the game as far as connecting farmers, connecting ranchers.
Yes.
And that's really the basis of if you can – in order to help somebody, you got to know their number.
Right, exactly.
You know, you got to know they need help.
Yes, exactly. And as I said, farmers don't like to ask for help, and that referral is so important. Yeah. And maybe it's just a bit of encouragement to say, hey, why don't you call these people up, look at their website, see what they can do to help you, and we want to let people know that help is available.
Yeah,
that's a key phrase. That and we all recognize the issues of mental health and we know that we want to let people know that help is available.
Absolutely. I was going to ask you. You mentioned Anheuser-Busch. Do you deal with those guys on? They do like the canned water. Is that where you guys are dealing with them on there?
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And I've seen that in hurricane disaster type of things.
Yeah.
Personally, I have not, but Anheuser-Busch, they had a promotion through their Busch Light where they put Farm Rescue on their cans.
Oh, nice, nice, yeah.
Specialized cans.
Yep. Oh, wow.
And because of that, then they raised funds for Farm Rescue.
Yeah.
They donated back so much per case. I personally went down to Wellington, Kansas to a distributor there and picked up a check for. Over the course of a month, he I don't know if it was the distributor or it was through Anheuser-Busch, but mm-hmm. They donated so much per case of Busch Light that they had sold, and I picked up a check for $1,200.
Nice.
It's just every bit. It's just every little bit helps.
It's a great way.
In the spirit of every little bit helps, at Farm Focused, which folks who listen to this podcast know of Farm Focused, we host the online merchandise store for Farm Rescue.
Yes.
So if folks go to farmfocused.com, you can look at the brands, you can look at the Farm Rescue brand, you can purchase stuff there. Proceeds from that go directly to Farm Rescue as well. So if you're looking for a cool shirt, t-shirt, hat, whatever case may be, and you want to support a little bit, that's there as well.
Yes, that's always welcome. And as you said, every little bit helps.
Yep, absolutely.
Every donation is appreciated.
And you guys are such innovators, FBN, Farm Focused. I like your guys' logo. I have nothing against it, but can we, like, get that a little hotter? Maybe some more zip, some more bang to it?
As in make it bigger, you mean?
I don't know. What do you think? I mean,
personally, I kind of...
Do I need a bigger blaze across my chest here?
Yeah,
we do have
some of that, too.
Yeah?
I actually like how simple and recognizable it is because, like you said, I continue to see it in all kinds of places,
right.
Like on the beer cans or on the side of a truck or whatever.
Yeah. Right.
So many people have gotten behind what you guys are doing, which is awesome to see because it's great for everyone. So
right, yes, no,
and I agree with that too. Yeah. I was just having a little fun there, you know.
And the angel, the volunteers are nicknamed the Angels in Blue.
Okay.
Because all of us tend to wear these Farm Rescue blue t-shirts, dark blue.
Everything that we sell online is the navy colored dark
yep. blue.
Yep.
And most of them accompany it with blue jeans, work jeans.
Yeah.
and we have the Farm Rescue hats obviously too, and it becomes a recognized symbol. Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, you guys are doing a great job. Where are you out of?
I personally, my home is Southern Nebraska, Jefferson County, little village called Dakin.
All right.
Farm Rescue, the home base is Fargo, North Dakota area. Horace is a suburb, which is, if you look at the information in the website, it says Horace, North Dakota, which is a suburb of Fargo. And that's where it starts. But we serve a 10-state area, and they're adding Missouri this coming year. And part of that is because of the Anheuser-Busch support and promotion.
What?
And so it's expanding. We've had people stop by our booth and ask if we're coming into Canada, and the answer is pretty much no on that one. But We would like to expand further, help more people, but it depends on funds and volunteers.
Yeah, right.
You know, the more we talk to people, whether it's in the ag industry or whatever, we always come back to, man, it's a small world.
For sure.
It's a tight network, whether you're talking this group of people or that group. And I just think the ag industry is just phenomenal in the fact that it's so big, so impactful. When you really get down to it, it's such a small network. And,
right.
And what you guys are doing and connecting people, and most importantly, you mentioned mental health and, when things go wrong. You're letting people know that there's an outlet. There is help out there.
Yes.
There's an entire organization out there ready to help, full of blue angels, volunteers.
Angels in blue, yes, volunteers. And just from speaking from a personal experience, we love what we do, and we love helping people, and it's just so rewarding for each of us as volunteers.
Yeah.
It really is.
You get more back than you give, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Good stuff. Well, David, thanks for coming over and spending a couple minutes with us. Hopefully folks learn a little bit about Farm Rescue. Website folks can go to learn stuff at? Or
the simple website is farmrescue.org.
Okay.
If you just type in Farm Rescue, you might find some things about animal rescues. We don't do that.
Sure.
But look carefully and you'll find Farm Rescue.
Farmrescue.org.
And it usually has pictures of combines and tractors on it. And that's what we do.
And if people know of somebody or some situation that they want to try to get some help for, is that where they go on?
There's an application on the website. There's phone numbers on the website. The simplest thing to do is just call that phone number and eventually you'll get the right person.
Yep.
Yes.
A lot of good folks there. I mean, I can tell you from my own personal experience, we deal with a lot of brands and the folks at the top at Farm Rescue that we deal with are some of the easiest going folks that we deal with across the board, and I really appreciate them. So I'm sure you guys bring that too.
It's good people that staff the organization, and we really have for as big as the organization is, and as the number of people that we help and the number of people affected, we have a full-time staff of 7 people and a long list of volunteers over 350 people.
Wow, very cool.
So,
all right. Any other questions, Andy?
No, that's good.
All right. Well, thanks, David. We'll see you.
You're welcome.
All right. Andy, who we got this time?
We got Bruce, one of our neighbors here with Momentum Ag. Now, I didn't know if that was like a workout company, like they have a new type of like a boot to wear that you can jog in, but no, it's
nothing like that.
Insurance. So Bruce, introduce yourself, and you are also in the podcasting game.
Yeah, that's right. No, my name is Bruce Lansky. I'm crop insurance agent with Momentum Ag. Been doing crop insurance now for roughly 25 years, also producer in Northeast Iowa. Been with Momentum now for at least 8 years. We provide, crop insurance, federally subsidized as well as the private products for crop and livestock insurance throughout the United States.
A lot of our audience is in ag and understands it, but a lot of them aren't. And I think as someone who's outside of ag, you hear about things like this crop insurance and you hear people getting fired up. All those farmers, they get, no matter what, they get paid. We hear this story all the time. Can you tell us a little bit about what is crop insurance? What's it for? What does it do? What's the whole idea here?
Well, I think crop insurance, the biggest thing about crop insurance is, it provides you with some type of a revenue guarantee. Year after year, price of putting crop in continues to get higher, and there continues to be more and more risk. But crop insurance, what that does is it does a couple things. It guarantees you so many dollars of revenue, but then it also provides you with so many dollars or so many bushels of a guarantee. So it allows you to go out and actually do some marketing of your crop before you have it in the bin.
Okay. Yeah.
A lot of times crop insurance, a lot of times on the market side, the prices are the best before the crop even goes into the ground.
Sure.
And that's one of the things. It's a crazy idea, I know. But it gives you so many bushels that you have the confidence to go out and sell it, knowing that if you're not there, you're going to get paid to be able to make up that difference.
Mm-hmm. And it's insurance like any other insurance in terms of so a farmer, a producer goes and buys that insurance to guarantee a certain amount of crop payout. But if they grow a decent crop and they go to sell it and all that, what happens with the insurance at that point?
Absolutely. There's there's actually two different paths to this. You know, if you take a 200 bushel corn mm-hmm. and your guarantee is 80% of that, you have 160 bushel guarantee.
Yep.
At $5, that's $800 an acre of guarantee. So it works both ways. If the price goes higher, you know, great, I can sell my corn. I don't mm-hmm. have to worry about doing this. But it also works the same way as come fall, if prices drop, let's say we started at $5 and we end up going down to $4, that just means I have to grow more and more bushels in order not to have some type of a revenue mm-hmm. loss.
Mm-hmm.
The big thing there is, it as a former banker as well, it also gives us as a banker,
yeah.
you know, an idea that, hey, if you go and put a crop in the ground, I know how many dollars I'm going to have at least
sure.
coming back. So therefore, it just makes it that much better
kind of
put
some
risk
stability all across the
right.
the whole program. There.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That makes sense.
But I'm such a simpleton here. I know where you're coming from, and you're saying, okay, we're minimizing risk, and if I have this guarantee, right, I know I'm going to have at least this coming in. Well, if you're pulling out insurance, that means you don't have the corn. So how can you sell the corn in a way knowing that it never got produced because you got to draw insurance? Does no one care about the actual crop, or is it just about the monetary side?
Well, the guarantee goes in the realm of, hey, I'm going to pay you the government or the crop insurance company so many dollars in premium. And in exchange for that, I have a guarantee that if I don't grow that many bushels,
okay,
then I'm going to get paid to where I can go and, if I contracted with an ethanol plant, I can clean
yeah.
them mm-hmm. up and make it to where, you know, I don't have to worry about being short dollars,
yeah.
having to find
yeah.
things. So.
Yeah, it's just a case of, like, verbiage, like what's actually guaranteed, because
yeah.
you can't guarantee a crop that
right.
you
right,
know,
yeah.
you're drawing insurance on.
Do you have any idea, like, the percentage of American farmers that participate in crop insurance?
Prior, you know, I think in the 19, you know, crop insurance has been around since the 1930s, actually.
Okay.
It originally started out as just a hail type policy.
Okay, yep.
And then in the 1980s, it evolved into a guarantee of, you know, 65% of so many bushels, but it didn't have a revenue component in it.
Mm.
And it's continued to evolve. You know, we've worked at, you know, we've worked up to up to 85% of your individual policy now, you know. And so percentage-wise, I think we're probably pushing closer to 90% of the people that
wow.
still take it. There's still folks out there that
yeah.
that are not taking
yeah.
it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but we continue to evolve. The last few years, we've worked into more of a county-based type plan that's over and above your individual plan. And I think that's probably one of the things that we're talking about a lot with our customers now, the idea of, hey, you can insure up to 95% of the expected county revenue for a very attractive premium.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think that's one of the big things that we're discussing with a lot of our customers right
yeah.
now.
So do you like that idea, or do you feel that that's not necessarily, you know, exactly what an individual farmer needs or should want? Take your time.
I don't know what to, yeah.
There's probably pros and cons to all of
that. There's pros and cons to that, obviously. You know, at what point is too much insurance, you know,
yeah.
too
yeah.
much coverage
yeah.
to help, you know, protect farmers that, you know, do they really need to be protected to help continue along? And I don't know the
mm-hmm.
the correct answer to that question. But I do know, if we start talking safety nets, you know, this would be one safety net that would be available out there, you know. When you couple that with some other government programs, you know, Arc County, for instance, you know, part of the increase in the subsidy, the where everybody's starting to talk about this county-based plan, is from this one big beautiful bill. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of different pieces on the crop insurance side that helped out with that as well.
Yeah,
I think what a lot of people don't realize when it comes to things like insurance like this for farmers is, if it didn't exist, then a lot of these folks wouldn't be making the moves they're making that end up benefiting the American citizen, right? Yeah. The food system, the food, the fiber, the fuel, all this kind of stuff. I think you would see a lot of folks who would pull back on things and not push the envelope enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we need that to happen. Otherwise,
right.
Imagine the alternative.
Well, okay, I will. I'll go the alternative way here. And maybe Bruce can answer this. If I didn't have a security net, or getting insurance is just not on the table for me, I don't believe in it, I hate it, would I, as a farmer, then diversify and I would have wheat, I would have cover crops, I'd have just a little bit of corn, I'd have more soybeans, I would have an array of things, not just focus in on king corn, rotate in soybeans every third year? Because you're seeing a lot of that,
yeah,
too,
where
they're just specializing in corn because that's where the payout is, that's where the subsidy or whatever, you know, whatever it is. I think if there is no insurance, maybe I would diversify. Maybe there would be more on the table as far as a selection and different things to the market.
I think that's an interesting thought there. You know, and there's been a lot of discussion on that as well, saying, okay, is this crop insurance really just helping to, continue to
feed the beast?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Feed the beast, continue to grow the folks that, consolidation is just you're just speeding this up with crop insurance. Mm. And maybe there's some truth to that. But if you take a look at it from the opposite end of the spectrum, a young producer, for instance, there's a beginning farmer discount available. We talked about a product that was, the government was paying 80% of the mm-hmm. premium. Well, part of this big, beautiful bill, they expanded the beginning farmer benefits. It used to be just 5 years, 10% of additional subsidy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this year they expanded it to 10 years. Mm. And the first 2 years you get 15%. So the government's going to pay $20 of premium for them. But without crop insurance, though, the ability for a youngster to get started,
way harder.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
It's almost impossible. Yeah.
It's impossible.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine a 20-year-old trying to walk into the bank saying, hey, I'd like to borrow enough operating money to put 200 acres in.
Yeah, just about $3 million.
Just how much,
The reality is if we don't get our younger folks into this arena,
right?
I mean, we're on a collision course.
That's right. Obviously, larger operations also use this, and mm-hmm. and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's awful hard to question. There's some folks say, well, maybe instead of fully subsidizing it all, you should back it down to mm-hmm. a certain amount.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably another discussion for another show. But I think crop insurance is just that, the ability to provide some financial stability to the ag world.
Yeah.
Not only for the crop insurance side, but also for livestock as well.
Yeah.
The cattle market's a perfect example.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Let's talk about that for a second. There is price protection, for livestock as well.
Yeah.
You can insure however many head, and if you didn't have crop insurance, you'd have to go out onto the board trade. You'd have to have options. Well, those are infinite, those are mm-hmm. certain size contracts to where you have to have so many head. Well, with these other types of insurance products, you can insure a price for that number of head. Again, going back to the young producer trying to, I want to finish out 30 head of cattle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's great. That's $100,000 worth of cattle. What do you have for collateral?
Right.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Collateral. Oops. What's that?
I got my old pickup.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, it does provide opportunity for folks.
Yeah.
No, just fascinating. And, we were just talking a little bit beforehand. There's just so many changes that have happened in the last 18 months.
Yep.
So it's I'm thankful that you came over and talked to us a little bit there, Bruce, because there's a lot going on in the ag world right now.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming over. It's very interesting. We could do a whole episode on cropping. Yeah. I mean, dang.
One question I did want to ask.
Yeah.
What kind of drew you in, you know, as a company and yourself to FBN?
Interesting little factoid. We were actually part of FBN a couple years ago.
Oh.
So we ended up, they ended up spinning us back off, and so we're still actively working with them, and so that's how we're still affiliated with them,
right?
But it's just that we're no longer part of FBN Insurance.
We're
Momentum Ag now.
Gotcha. Well, so yeah, and if folks wanted to learn more or wanted to get a hold of you, is the best way the website, or what would you suggest?
Best way would be, you know, Momentum Ag website. It's just momentum.ag.
Yep.
That's the easiest way to go. Type in Momentum Ag, and it'd probably be the first one you see up on the website.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool deal. Well, I've got a lot more questions about this particular topic,
but
we don't have time, so it'd be fun. We gotta. Maybe we can get you guys back on.
That sounds like a plan.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well,
all
thanks,
right, cool.
Bruce.
Yeah. Thanks
Very
so
good.
Much. We'll see you. All right. We got another one here, Andy.
Yes, we do. Another one of our neighbors.
Yeah. Here in the trade show.
Yep. And Charles actually pointed him out and said, "I think you guys need to talk to these guys over here."
Yeah.
Cattler. And I'm like, well, okay, I'm more of a dog person. I don't really, you know.
Ignacio is your name.
Yes, sir.
Nice to meet you. Thanks
nice
for coming
to
over.
Nice to meet you, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
So the company's called Cattler Corporation.
Yes.
What is it? What do you guys do?
So in Argentina, there's a word for cattle in Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
And if you add the R, it will be the equivalent of being like a cattle farmer.
Oh, okay.
So it's just
okay.
Like a word that we
so
just
like
made up.
Cattler. I gotcha.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a guy that handles cattle.
Yeah. Yeah. So
cattler.
Like. Yeah. Like we kind of do that in English.
Yeah.
Like if you take like if you're going to drive, a driver.
You're a driver.
Exactly.
There you go. Yeah.
That was the same logic from a native English ignorant.
Yeah.
Yeah. How did that make it over here? So many things make it over. That one didn't.
Yeah.
Okay.
That makes
I'm on
sense.
Board now.
We have the trademark, so that's it's ours now.
It's here now.
So are you from Argentina?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm natural from Argentina.
Okay.
I live in the States since 2018.
Okay.
I came with my family.
Yeah.
And we've have been around since then.
Awesome.
And
awesome.
You're talking about moving. You guys have moved in, and now you're based out of Lincoln, Nebraska, right?
Yes, sir. We happen to have, like, when we created this and we began to deploy it here and there, like, Nebraska was, like, very obviously the place to be. It's the place. If Nebraska was a country, it would be our leading country
really?
In terms of the amount of members that we have. Compared
right.
to the rest of the countries we are in.
Well, that's a very popular license plate. We're the beef state.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
So, yeah,
dude, I feel like a lot of states think that they are.
Oh, no.
Yeah, just look at the statistics.
It's
statistics
Nebraska.
Is don't lie.
Yeah.
You just take Highway 275 from here up to home.
Yeah.
That's
it's
awesome.
Just one after the other one. So.
Yeah.
And Argentina is also like a country that has more cattle than people.
Mm.
And so we feel like really related to the state in the way that in the relationship that people have with cattle and with beef.
Right. Yeah. Outside of cattle, I got to ask, because I grew up as a soccer guy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's big time, right? Like Messi, dude, right?
I'm biased. Yeah. It's the guy. It's
yeah.
There's no even discussion. There was a time where it was him versus Maradona.
Oh, yeah.
But then he won the World Cup and just they was like he just put that to bed.
Yeah. Are you guys excited for the World Cup coming up?
Oh, yeah. Big time. We've been excited like last World Cup, all over the place.
Yeah.
And now it's like, this is happening
it's
now,
right
here.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's pretty cool. We can get back to cattle. I just thought that was
Absolutely.
Fun.
Absolutely.
So what is it that you guys do? What's the service that you offer?
So it's basically a platform. It's a software platform for cattle producers to be able to run the whole operation on the palm in the palm of the hand. And it's basically allows you, integrates with everything that's out there, whether it's scales, for in the feeding bar, in the cattle chute, all the EAD readers, barcodes. So it's basically we are just taking account of all what is data collection while you are doing stuff on a daily basis, and then giving you the metrics that you need, the reports that you need, in a one-stop shop. It's not like modularizing. It's iCloud. It's multi-platform. Runs on iOS and Android. So it's just meant to be, make your life easier. Hmm. We just add a couple of tops.
Instead of having like five different places to go to look at all your info, it all comes
exactly
into this particular.
Yeah, it needs
program
to be very intuitive. And when there's something that is not enough, we just change it. We are very dynamic. We update the app every month, nonstop since 2022. So we are very dynamic, and like it's never enough. So we're like we have built this literally based on feedback from producers.
Interesting.
So it is an app, and
yes,
it's good for, you know, Android or Apple, iPhones.
Yes.
You know, it's
yes,
such a big thing. I would have to assume something you're always looking to upgrade is making it easier for us, for farmers, for cattle guys, to log in, to not only log in, but log in the information.
Yes, and not only because there's always something that you can improve, like mm-hmm, where you would have like a full text, now you can have a drop down. When you would have a drop down, now you can have a QR code. When you have a QR code, you have like an API automatic. There's something, always something new. There's requirements that change because the business changes. And there's new technology coming, like with all the AI stuff.
Oh, yeah.
There's a ton of things that we can make to help them just not lose in unnecessary time doing stuff that you can just do automatically.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, yeah, and especially we've seen this explosion of precision ag. The same can be said on the ranching side. So I'd assume when the precision side, you know, catches up and gets bigger and bigger, you'll have to adjust and stay up with that.
Absolutely, and I think we feel like we're just barely scratching the surface mm-hmm of how easy this can become, and how much more we can expect from platforms like this. It's not just like that allows me to do my chores. It's not that just allows or that just puts together all the information. There's so much value in a way that all of the information can give me the input that I need for the decision. Am I buying cattle? I want to have the precise break even for the type of lots that I'm buying based on the future projections and my typical cost of gain, things like that. Mm. That should be like very quick.
Yeah.
And your fingertips. And that's the work we do is all the time on the sidelines, trying to make it easier, like layer by layer.
Interesting. Is it, how do folks go about using it? Is it like a subscription app, or how does that work?
Yeah, it's just basically a subscription. You can just like subscribe online and download the app from an app store or Play Store, and we will call you to do a minimal setup. Mm-hmm. And in most cases, in 1 hour, you're off and you go. When we have like larger operations with like many people involved, sometimes they will take us will ask us for trainings, mm-hmm, but we try to be very nimble and very quick,
yeah,
because people don't have time and don't have time to lose on things that they don't know if they're gonna add value.
Yeah.
So we need to show them the value right away. So yeah.
Do people have a hard time with or have like concerns about like their information that's getting shared on that, like that it's getting specifics from their operation that they're worried or?
Yeah, people that have concerns, and for a good reason, because many of these software platforms, they have been acquired by certain vendors.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's kind of, hey, like the reason why I'm buying this is because I want your data, instead of just putting it There's another way to work about this is, hey, sharing data is good, so long as you can control it, and you can have a benefit for it.
Yeah.
So just let's not do it under the table. Let's do it on the table, and you can control what you share and what you don't share to whom, and for what reason. Like, do I want to get a new loan? Okay, I'm gonna share. If I want, and my part of my inventory, do I want to have the best price for feed? I can do, or perhaps I cannot. I'm not interested in sharing what's my low stock alert on a certain ingredient. So I think there's nothing wrong so long as everything is very transparent on how it's done. And I think in the past, it was kind of the Wild West of software, management software.
Yeah.
And I think nowadays with all these changes in technology, there's no need for that because you can control a lot of, it's not like black and white. It's not that you have to share everything or nothing.
Yeah.
There's a lot of ways and mechanism for that, for you to know, to be aware of what's being shared. And if you don't want it, I want to do it.
Yeah.
Just that.
I ask that question because I think FBN has done a really good job of figuring out how do you share your information with us so that we can share metrics with you. We still keep it private. You know, we're not telling folks this is your info, but we're using your info to bring numbers together and to help you be more efficient.
Yeah,
and that's exactly. Kind of the category that you guys are in as well.
Yeah, I think it's in the same spirit, and that's why also we are big partners with FBN because we have been like sharing the same spirit from day one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like there's an understanding that these are the rules and mm-hmm. they're not to be broken because it's just stupid to break a rule that undermines trust.
It's just smarter
to set up clear rules. And there's now with technology, it's very easy to audit how things work.
Yeah.
And just, I don't know, it's a win-win for everybody.
Yeah.
So you're talking numbers, your platform, your app, who are you trying to attract or who is this built for? Is it somebody trying to finish off 20 head, 20 fats, or is it somebody that consistently has, 300 head of cattle on his yard?
So our aspiration has been always to cover most of the producers we can possibly serve because we are interested in the whole community. We picked initially the feeders segment as our market entry mm-hmm. because naturally feeders are the ones that where everything happens every day, and so naturally they're like the best adopters.
Yeah.
But we are now releasing our first features for cow-calf operations, and at the same time we are also serving some other types of like larger operations than before. We began to work with 1,000 to 5,000. Capacity feed yards. We're now widening on the feeder side to larger operations, and then on the cow calf side, you naturally go towards like slower, smaller operations.
Mm-hmm.
So because that's the uneven nature of the cattle value chain, where you have more concentration as you go downstream, and you have more. And smaller operations on average as you go upstream. So we're really trying to make a platform that feeds all types of operations. Mm-hmm. That's the goal.
Yeah, because that's like tough. If you're talking to a feedlot that has 2,000 head versus, let's just say me, and I want to finish off 20 steers.
Yeah.
That's way different.
Yeah, I think the industry, like the rules of the industry, will also apply to you. The economics is, there's only one like certain level of efficiency that you can gain mm-hmm. at a certain scale, even if you're the best player. So we try to make the best out of you, regardless of what size you are. But then there's also other things where sometimes the industry begins to re-engineer itself, where people that perhaps with this price scenario, before they would be finishing cattle, but they're now more backgrounding cattle, and they're creating ties more with the finisher that is larger in size. So I think we don't think that this is a game of like small versus large operations. There's always connections throughout the value chain between large and small operations, and it's just trying to find where's the value. In each and every step.
Yeah, that's cool. I think FBN does a really good job of introducing folks to new technologies, to technologies that are going to be beneficial, that are going to help the bottom line. And it sounds like that's something that you guys do, and it's right in that wheelhouse with them. So I'm not surprised at all to meet you guys and understand what you do now. It's pretty cool.
So where can people go to find out more about your app and about your operation?
Just go to www.cattle.farm. And you have a lot. And you can also, we also have a YouTube channel that's called Cattler, and you can see a lot of the videos of and a real like footage and how this works and that works.
Yeah.
And testimonials. So there's a lot of information out in the internet. Just Google us or look for our
Cattler.
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 Yes. Dot farm.
Yep. Dot farm. Cool.
Perfect.
Anything else?
No, that's great.
All right, man. Well, thanks for coming over.
Oh, thank you guys for the opportunity to talk with you.
Yeah, good to meet you. And go Messi. Go Argentina.
yes. Let's go for it. All right. Thank you.
See ya. All right, Andy. It's been a good couple of days so far.
It has been.
Yeah, man.
I really get into those speakers. There's some big-time speakers here.
There was some cool stuff, yeah.
Yeah. Took a picture with, though, Chris Voss.
Oh, good.
I tried to use his own tactics against him that he talked about.
Yeah, right.
He just laughed at me.
Yeah, so I tried that, too. Just start with the no.
Right?
I got
a no.
Yeah. He said no.
So to kind of close this out, we've got Charles here with us, co-founder at FBN. Folks, listen to the podcast. If you remember last year, we had an episode with Charles and really dug into FBN and kind of all the things that they're doing. So here we are today at the Farmer to Farmer event, 3-day event. Been here for a couple of days so far, chatting with a lot of folks, you know, picking up some nuggets, just a lot of networking, those kinds of things.
Well, and that's the thing you're really going for, right? Is just networking, farmers getting together with other farmers.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's always the really fun part is, you know, farmers spend a lot of time in their local geography and they don't get as much mixing, you know, from around the country or around North America. And, you know, if you're in Nebraska or you're in Kansas, you see a lot of Kansas and Nebraska guys all the time.
Sure.
And
maybe
you don't, you know, mix it up with Texas or Tennessee or Kansas and or, you know, Canada. And you realize that I think everybody's dealing with the same stuff in a different way.
That's right? True. That's very true. Yeah. I was surprised, you know, some of the folks that we've been talking to, how far they have traveled in here from, you know, to your point. This isn't a massive event. This is more of, I would call this like an intimate, very focused type event. And so obviously it's of value for folks to travel that far.
Yeah, I mean, there was a crew that drove in 20 hours from South Carolina.
That's pretty cool.
People drove down from Saskatchewan. And, you know, I think it's, you know, something we've always strove to do is just create a unique environment and, you know, bring a bit of the tech world, bring a bit of folks like Chris Voss and Molly, who are, you know, unusual at the farm events and you don't get to hear from typically. And you know, then bring a lot of innovators to the mix as well.
For sure.
A lot of cool startup companies here and people trying new things and, you know, in ag, companies who are really trying to compete and change things. We want to support at FBN and try to create a platform.
Do you feel like, with all that in mind, do you feel like there's been kind of a theme showing up at this event? Any one thing, or is it just kind of...
Well, I mean, you know, definitely AI. You know, I think there's going to pop in so many different ways now.
Yeah.
People will start seeing, you know, AI, I think, has been more limited to kind of playing around with Gemini or ChatGPT and having fun with it, but maybe not. It's not a tool yet. It's not a core part of your life just yet, but it's all the back end ways that AI starts working that will start showing up very quickly. And as we were getting ready for Farmer to Farmer and the team was building out these demos and we're doing an AI, you know, AI mocks with folks so they can they can literally design products on the spot with us. And you can build software exponentially faster than we could when we built FBN.
Right. Wow.
The things we showed today would have taken us a year and a half, you know, if that was the only thing we were focused on. And you can pilot that, test it virtually, you know, infinite, you know, instantly, like in a couple hours, you can put a demo together that someone can actually interact with and get feedback on, and it changes the whole way that you build things, which is really, really fun.
Farming and agriculture in general is ripe for that. A lot of people don't realize, you know, if you're not involved in agriculture, how technology is in ag, how advanced it is. So when you can bring in something like AI that's able to take all the stuff that we've been doing all these years and start kind of bringing it together and really putting it to work. That's what I see a lot happening.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's some parts of farming you just can't change, right? You got to plant the seed.
Yeah.
You got to haul the crop off. you're going to need trucks, you're going to need physical goods, you're going to need elevators, you know, that doesn't change. But the systems that you use, right now you might go to 10 different places for markets, weather, grain trading, finance, buying, etc. Some of that's online, some of that's offline. Mm-hmm. And what we showed with, you know, the new version of Norm and how FBN's going to start coming together is literally all that starts to become integrated. You know, being able to talk to an expert, the advice, problem detection to solution, whether that's an equipment problem that's got a maintenance issue, pops immediately to a solution, something you can take action on or seek more advice. Pest detection instantly to a product recommendation that can be actioned and delivered to the farm within a day or two. And so I think farming will be able to function much more on demand and faster for growers. You know, the commercial systems that a farmer deals with will get much simpler. Some things that, you know, where you have parts of agriculture that charge very high commissions or very high fees to growers that are either protected by policy or protected by, you know, market powers, you know, you could really start to see those erode. And a grower could, you know, find more ways to save and find more ways to do things like fill out insurance applications or lending applications. Those can become instant, virtually.
You're also seeing all your vendors here.
Yep.
Like a lot of these, there is some way, shape, or form they are implementing AI into their company, into their offerings.
Yeah, and I think, you know, some of those things like novel seed breeding and, you know, new chemistries that'll come to market, I mean, some of those will take years to materialize in a form that the farmer can use, but the software will move the fastest, and the ability for a farm's experience to change the fastest in software is you're going to see that change very rapidly in the next 12 months, which should be incredibly exciting, you know, incredibly empowering for growers,
you know,
to get that kind of experience. You don't have to be an engineer. You don't have to know how to code something or even build, you know, AI system on your own.
Yeah.
But you know, if you interact with it, it's going to be easy.
Well, and it's got to be exciting for you. I mean, because I feel like FBN was set up as a way to share information, bring people together, and now you have this amazing tool in AI that people are becoming more and more comfortable with, especially farmers coming around to it, and you get to kind of be the conduit. Like, you're bringing these powers together.
Yeah. I mean, for us, this was kind of the dream 10 years ago, and, you know, what, you know, back then was called data science and machine learning, and saying, okay, well, if you have all this information, how can you start automating it? Well, you had to manually automate it. You had to build in all that logic, and, you know, that was a difficult, very difficult process. And now the AI really takes that over for you. And so if you build the rails, if you build the infrastructure, ability for someone to sell grain, get a loan, buy a product, detect crop, you know, all those core systems are there, but then a farm can put the whole piece together, and it's tremendously exciting. Yeah.
Very cool. Do you think, with how this has gone for you guys this year, and I know you had taken a couple of years off of Farmer to Farmer, what's the future look like for this event?
Well, we had been a couple of years, and, you know, FBN went through a lot of transition over the last 3 years, and markets had stabilized a bit, and we knew a little bit more about how we were going to operate in the future. Mm-hmm. And so we said in October, we had to get Farmer to Farmer back on, and we don't want to wait till next year. So we said, all right, we're going to bring it back. We'll bring it back however we can in the next 5 months. And goal is to be having it back next year sooner than this. We might be back here in 9 months.
Awesome.
Well, congratulations. I love these type of things and just running into people, getting a chance to see some of the speakers you brought in. And, it's kind of – you're kind of taking these guys out of their comfort zone, you know. Like Chris Voss was trying to – communicate with farmers. He had a lot of Iowa jokes. You know, I would have to think he's not usually joking around about Iowa corn.
Right. I think, you know, we try to bring the best of the outside world, the best of the farm world, the best of the tech world, you know, and creates a unique mix, which is really fun.
Well, you guys are doing a great job, man. We appreciate it. We appreciate you having us.
Thank you. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, we're happy to be here. It's a lot of fun. It's good to network with folks and see some of our buddies and just get caught up. So
yeah,
right. It's fun to you know, get the gang together a couple times there, you know, once a year.
Right.
Get everyone to mix and becomes a tradition.
Yep. Right. Yep.
Is Norm? You were talking to Norm ready to roll out, or is it still kind of limited, or how's that coming?
Norm is going to be — what we showed today is stuff we're working on.
Okay.
And so that's going to be rolling out in the next few months here, kind of iteratively over the next few months. There's an AI crop marketing advisor and market intelligence platform that does risk forecasting. Mm. Norm the agronomist is on FBN today. And then that version of Norm that pulls the whole picture together, that's the big new work that we're working on. So hopefully we've got something for growers by later in the summer.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, if you have any interest in this kind of thing at all, if you're involved in agriculture and you listen to the podcast, look up FBN. What's the best way for folks to find?
Just FBN.com.
Okay.
Everything's on there, or get the app and sign up for free, and you can get on the FBN community, start talking to growers, and check it all out.
Yeah, yeah, and keep your eye out for Farmer to Farmer next year. A lot of good classes, a lot of good programs, a lot of good networking, so I would definitely recommend it.
Good people, just good
Absolutely.
People.
Absolutely,
great group of guys.
Cool. All right, anything else, man?
No.
Thanks
All
a
right.
lot, guys.
Appreciate you.
Yeah.
We'll see you.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.